Well, good morning, church, and welcome.
Good morning.
And welcome to all those who are joining us through the internet this morning. Well, harvest has begun. In fact, harvest is fully underway in our part of this world. And we know as we, even if we're not a farmer or we're part of a farming community, so you see signs of it, the dust in the air and the combines on the horizon, and combines are going and gathering up all the fruit. And, you know, it's kind of such a nice thing to see harvest time. And but this is not a time for them, harvest, or the farmers, to be asleep or to be on vacation, relaxing in a nice air-conditioned hotel somewhere, watching television. This is harvest time, and we know what that means. The farmers will push those combines as fast and as long as they possibly can to get the harvest in before bad weather hits or pestilence, whatever the case may be. It's a very short window of time. And I believe we are blessed out here in our country. We usually have plenty of time to get the harvest in, but I know there are places where that doesn't happen. But you know, it is a very it is a time where we can learn a lot, and it just kind of really fit in with where I want to go today. It's harvest time, and over the past several weeks, we've been teaching, or I've been teaching, on the kingdom of God and how, first of all, there are the two kingdoms that are at work. We have the kingdom of darkness, which is the kingdom of this world, which is, we know, the God of this world is Satan himself. And then we have the kingdom of God, where God is the God of his kingdom. And you either belong to one or the other. You can't say, I don't want to play that game. You are either in the kingdom of God or you are in the kingdom of darkness. And the picture that I see of harvest is really, seed time and harvest is really how the kingdom of God works. We learn a lot. We can learn a lot by just watching the farmers. And because that's how the kingdom of God operates. And we've been talking about operating in the kingdom of God. How many of us feel like we're operating in the kingdom of God? How many of us feel like we're living in God's kingdom, even while we're on this earth? Because that is what it ought to look like. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We are citizens of another world, which is heaven, the heavenly kingdom. And God wants us to bring heaven, so to speak, to the earth. And so I'm going to ask again, how many of us are living heaven on earth? Or are we living in this world? And are we looking at this world and all that it offers or doesn't offer as our source? And it is so vitally important, because I believe God is doing all this shaking in the world to get us to realize that there's nothing in this world that is a sure thing. Everything is being shook up. Everything, why? Because this world and its system is passing away. But his word, his kingdom, will never pass away. It is an everlasting kingdom. And so if you are wise, you are going to learn to operate in the kingdom of God. You're going to have to understand it in order to operate in it, because I believe we are being led into a time where, as people on the earth, it's going to be our only hope. And so that's why I'm doing this teaching. It is so vitally important. So the seed time and harvest, as we see all around us in the natural, is really how God's kingdom works. And we need to understand how this kingdom works as the children of the kingdom in order to experience kingdom life or operate in God's kingdom, even while we're in this, on the earth, in this body. Now, I can't stress the importance of this, because we are living in the time of the last great harvest. Remember, Jesus said to disciples, lift up your eyes and look, the fields are ready. The fields are ripe for harvest. Pray that the Lord send laborers into the harvest. This is the last great harvest that we're entering into. The time that the Holy Spirit has been preparing the bride for since the beginning. And you and I, you need to, I say this just about weekly, you were chosen to be here to bring in and to be a part of the greatest harvest this world has ever seen. And I'm not talking about the grain and the crops out there. I'm talking about a harvest in the kingdom of God. And you can sit by, you can go into your air-conditioned home and sleep through harvest, but the Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs that the man that sleeps during harvest is not wise. I mean, if you saw a farmer, beautiful crop standing out, and he is, and it's time to harvest, and he's in his house watching television, feet up, having a nice cool beer, whatever, and totally ignoring his harvest, you'd scratch your head and think, wow, that guy isn't very smart. And it's no different for us as children of God. The kingdom is ours. And it is time for the church to bring in the harvest, to begin to be very serious about this. So we're about to, I believe we've already entered in. It's not like something that's going to happen. It already is happening. The greatest harvest is beginning. And you might think as you look around you, as what you see is, you know, really just darkness. You haven't really seen much of the harvest, and the world seems to be more hopeless than ever. There's right now rumors flying around of famine, wars, pestilences. There is divisions going on because of the COVID. There's hatred, lawlessness, deception, confusion. These are things that we're seeing all the time, and it's rising. Like, I know these things have always been on the earth and they've always been present, but not like they are today. It's like every country is experiencing some form of turmoil, and that's what we see. And we think, how is this the greatest harvest ever? We don't see it with our natural eye. That's what we see. That's what we experience every day. But we must not bend and bow to what's going on in the system of the world, because we're not part of that system. We don't belong to that system. That's the world's system. We come from a different system, and there's always that opposite thing going on. If you want to look, if you want to see what God's kingdom is, what's happening in God's kingdom, just go to the world, and exactly the opposite is happening in God's kingdom. So where there's hopelessness, there's more hope than ever in the kingdom of God. You know, there's peace, there's everything that you could, everything good is in the kingdom of God. And as you see it on the rise in the natural, you can see the opposite on the rise in the spirit world. And but you and I must be confident at this hour that even though you are in this world, you are not of this world. You need to convince yourself of that. I don't live according to the way the world lives. I live according to the kingdom of God. And our supply is not from this world. It's from above. We need to believe that with all of our hearts. Your supply is not from this world. It is from the kingdom of God. And our Father has everything covered. Everything, you know, you might look around and think, wow, this world is out of control. But you know what? God's in control of it all. At the end of the day, God is in control. It might not look like it, but He is. Everything that is going on, you get to understand, everything that is going on is for the glory of God. You know, Jesus came and they didn't believe who He was. His own rejected Him, the Jewish people. They did not believe. Still, for 2,000 years, there's many people who still do not believe. And that's why God graces us. That's why God is so pleased when one of us stand up and fight for Him, because they did not believe. But there's coming a day, and that's why the Bible says every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess, every eye is going to see Him, and everybody is going to know He is God. But until that day, we know He's God. And when we project that, when we show forth that in our lives, nothing pleases God more when we stand up and say, yes, he is real. Yes, he is real. It is so important. And remember, whenever you go back in scripture and you read about some of the greatest miracles God ever did, it had to become really dark first, didn't it? Why? So that everybody knew that was God. I mean, the crossing of the Red Sea. God didn't part that Red Sea the day before because he knew his people were going to need to go across. No. The enemy was practically on top of them. And they got to the Red Sea, and then God parted the Red Sea. And that's how God works. That's called faith. You got to trust God with every step you take in this life. You may not see it. It may not feel like it. The enemy might be hanging on. You might feel it physically. But when you just keep on walking, and God will make a way. God will open up the Red Sea. He doesn't do, you know, that's the thing about God. He doesn't do things that we can see 2-3 weeks in advance. Like, oh yeah, no. He doesn't do it until you need it. But that's what it means to trust God every day. Knowing that it doesn't matter how close I feel the enemy is getting or how much I can feel it, God is faithful. God is going to open up the Red Sea for me and I will go across to the other side. So it always seems to have to get really dark before we see a great move of God. And I don't know how much darker it can get in this world. And I believe that as we push forward, God is going to show up, and he's going to show up in a big way. There will be no doubt that it is God working. For no man will take any glory to himself. God will get all the glory. So every dark thing that you see is only an opportunity for God to show his glory. Remember that. Everything in your life, look at it as an opportunity. Any challenges that you might have that come your way at this hour, look at it as an opportunity for God to show up and show his glory. If we never went through any problems, where would we be able to bring glory to God in our lives if our lives were perfect? You know, but it's not about having a perfect life, but it's about trusting in the Lord, and he will show up. For we are about to see, I believe, the greatest demonstration of the glory of God yet. We've been studying Isaiah 60, arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. The glory is risen. It is harvest time for the bride of Christ. Harvest time in the kingdom of God. What is harvest time? And what is glory? How do we put all this together to understand it? A time when God's glory is revealed. Okay, so what is harvest time? You know, I mean, we know what it is in the natural. You plant the seed, you go out and you cut it down, and now you got the grain, right? You got the goods. But what is harvest time in the kingdom? Harvest is really when God's glory is revealed. That is the harvest of the kingdom, or manifested. So let me explain more fully what this harvest time really is, how the kingdom of God works. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 55. I want to read verses 8 to 11. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 to 11. Now, in order to operate in the kingdom, you've got to understand the kingdom and how it works. Verse 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, how many times have you thought, when approaching a situation that might be a big problem in your life, and somebody, or you hear me say, I mean, I'm the teacher here, the preacher, whatever, it might be some guy you hear on TV, tells you, oh, just do this, believe God, sow a seed, plant, and you in your mind are thinking, yeah, right. It just seems like, are you kidding? Do you know how big my problems are? I'm going to need something a little more substantial than that. But God is telling us here, my ways, my thoughts are much higher than yours. And we need to appreciate he is God. And if he says something, then let's not reject it because it doesn't sound complicated enough or high enough. God's ways are higher, his thoughts are higher. For as the rain comes down from heaven, and snow, or rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returns not again, but it waters the earth, and makes it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It will not return unto me void. Or having, if you look up that word void, it means useless, or not having made an effect or producing something. But it will accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper in the thing where I sent it. So God's kingdom works on seed time and harvest. What is the seed? The word of God. The word of God is the seed. And just like the rain and the snow comes down, so shall my word be that comes down. It will produce. It will give bread to the eater. It will give seed to the sower. And that word will not, your harvest will be a sure thing, in other words. Because, I mean, even in the natural, many times we plant seeds and the harvest isn't great, or maybe there's no harvest at all. But God's word is the incorruptible seed. So God's word is the seed. And the harvest, now listen carefully, the harvest is that seed or his word coming to pass in our lives or bearing fruit. That's the harvest. That which can be seen in the natural or experienced, that which is the harvest, is his glory revealed. When somebody sees in your life, let's say you have a terminal illness and you know the doctor has given you, 4 weeks to live. So you get a hold of the seed of healing, God's word, and you operate in it, you plant it, you believe it. When that healing happens, that's the manifest, that is the fruit, that is the harvest of that seed, which is the glory of God revealed. So when the Bible tells us that arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon you, it means that the manifestation of his word is going to be seen in your life, whether it's healing, prosperity, every good thing. So let's not spiritualize this so much where it doesn't even make any sense to us. What is this glory? It's just the revealed word of God. That's all it is. And the world will see it. It's like the word made flesh, the word coming down into the natural, and the harvest can be seen with your physical eyes. It can be touched. It becomes reality in this world. The same thing, remember the scripture in John chapter 1, verse 14? John 1:14, it says, and the word was made flesh, who is Jesus, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. When the word becomes flesh, when the word becomes reality to you in your life, where you can feel it, like healing, you know, it becomes real, that is the glory revealed. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the word of God manifested in the natural, in your life, is God's glory. And we are to live for the praise of God's glory. God wants to manifest in your life, no matter who you are, no matter what situation you're in, his glory. But it all comes through the seed. That's how the kingdom of God operates. And that's why it's so vitally important for us to stay rooted in the word. Because if we're not in the word or pondering the word, guess what? The words of the world are going to be the seeds that you're planting in your heart. And it's going to be what you reap. Because what you sow is what you ultimately reap. And so I don't know about you, but I think for the body of Christ, it's time to shut out some of the things we're hearing, to focus and get our eyes on to the word of God and begin to operate in that word, in that kingdom. So the glory of God is nothing more than the revelation or the manifestation of God's word, his seed. It is the incorruptible seed, and he has given us every seed to plant, to produce a harvest in every area of our lives. I don't care what area it is you're looking for a harvest. There is a seed for it from the word of God. You just need to find what that seed is. And that's why the Bible says that we need to be diligent and we need to labor. The labor is in the word. It's in the seed. It's in the planting of the seed. There's no, it's not that we are physically told to do something. Oh my, she's cute. It's not that we're physically told to do something. It's not by our efforts, but we do need to know the word of God. You know, even in the natural, when you plant a seed, let's say you have a potato seed or whatever, you put it in the ground. Do you put it in the ground and walk away? And no, you put it in the ground with what? An expectancy. You expect a harvest. Whether, you know, a garden, I mean, how many times do you walk out and check to see what things, how things are growing? And, oh, you know, why? Because you're having an expectancy to see some beans on that plant or whatever the case may be. You don't just put the seed in the ground and walk away. If you do, that's kind of silly. Why would you bother putting the seeds in the ground in the first place? But you do it in expectancy, with an expectancy. Well, the kingdom of God works no different. It's time for us to realize that every seed, every word of God that we plant in our lives, let's have an expectancy to see a harvest in that area. And, you know, most people in the church, many people in church, have no real understanding how even a natural seed grows. We don't understand it. All we know is we stick it in the ground, and if you put a little water on it, it'll come up. But you don't really know what's going on underneath the ground or having a real scientific idea of how that seed sprouts and brings new life. But we do know the Bible tells us the seed must die first, and then it brings. And you know, Jesus Christ is the Word. He died first. Why? So that we could have a bountiful harvest. The seeds. We expect them to grow. Much more we should have an expectancy when we sow God's word. Because it is the incorruptible seed of God. God's word is God. They are one. We looked at that from John chapter 1, verse 1. And over the last couple of weeks, I've endeavored to teach us that if you have God's word, the seed, you are sure to reap a harvest. It is the only guarantee we really have in this world. When everything else is falling apart, we still have the seed. And that should excite us. That should give us hope. Heaven and earth, the Bible tells us, will pass away. But God's word will never pass away. Never. We can trust it completely. Who do you trust in your life? We always think that, that's all he's given us is this. It just seems so flimsy, but it's powerful. Anything from God is powerful. One word from God will change your life. One word can change your life. We can trust the word of God. And we looked at it last week. Why? Because God is righteous. You know, we've been taught for months and months and even years that we need to know that we are the righteousness of God in Christ and to seek to know that we are the right. But you know, the Lord turned it around for me last week and said that in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, I believe we looked at, where it says that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And he showed me that seeking after his righteousness is to know his righteousness, exactly what it says. How righteous is God? Do you think God would ever let one of his words drop to the ground without producing? No, God is completely and altogether righteous. What does that mean? That means that if he spoke something, if he said something out of his mouth, he will bring it to pass. You can trust that. You can trust the word of God. Above all else in your life, you can trust it. Why? Because God is righteous. And he is righteous in making you righteous. Do you understand? Why? Because Jesus took our sin. And if God didn't look at you and call you righteous, Joshua, that would mean he is unrighteous. Why? Because his son paid the price. So God is righteous in bringing his word to pass in your life. That is, without that, if we couldn't trust that, we would have nothing. And so first of all, seek to know his righteousness, that God will never fail you. God's word will never break down. God's word will never lose power. If God said it, he's not a man. Numbers 19:23 says, or is it 23:19? Says, God is not a man that he would lie or tell a lie. He won't repent. If he has said it, will he not do it and make it good? In fact, the Bible takes it one step further. It is impossible. God cannot lie. He cannot. We can lie. God cannot. It's not that he doesn't. He cannot. And so that, see, even just God's integrity, God's righteousness goes beyond anything we can even comprehend, because in this natural world, righteousness, we were stripped of righteousness way back in the garden. And so it's become our natural way of seeing things, that there is unrighteousness. People break their words every day. And we do. We all do. So it's hard for us to understand that God cannot tell a lie. God cannot break his word. God and his word are one. And so that'll never break down. And so that's the confidence. That's seeking first and understanding not only the kingdom, but God's righteousness. It is so important. It is so important for us to step out and completely trust the word of God. We feel like we're on shaky ground when we do that. But actually, you're on the rock. You're on the only thing that will not fall. And that is God's word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not one word that came out of my mouth or that out of the mouth of God will lose its power or pass away. So every good thing in the kingdom of God has already been given us freely in Christ. There's nothing that you need in your life or even desire that hasn't already been given through Christ. So no, we're not trying to earn it. We're not trying to obtain it and wait for it. It's already ours. And remember in the book of Joshua, we took up a month ago, God spoke to Joshua and said, there is much land yet to be possessed. In other words, your inheritance is all of the word of God. And there is much land in your life, my life, all of the church's life that needs to be possessed. And we're running at the end. We're close to the end. And I believe this. That's why I say this is the greatest time of harvest the world has yet to see, because we are going to reap the harvest before the return of the Lord. So all of these things have been already given us in Christ. But we need to lay hold of these things. How? By and through faith. Calling them forth. Faith speaks. Calling them into our lives. What? With confidence. With confidence. Why? Because I know God's word doesn't lie to me. I saw it in the word. It's mine, and I am going to lay hold of it. And no less than if your parent died and left you an inheritance, and you just go in and say, that's mine. My name is written right there. And you lay claim to your inheritance. It's yours. It doesn't matter whether you deserve it, whether you earned it. It is yours. So do it with confidence. So all of the things are already yours. And Jesus said in John, the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verse 40, he was talking to Martha just prior to him raising Lazarus from the dead. And remember, Jesus comes up to the tomb, because he asked Martha, where did you lay him? And Jesus approaches the tomb and he looks around him and he says, roll away the stone. And Martha is just like freaking out because, no, master, you can't roll away that stone because Lazarus has been dead 4 days already. Can you imagine the stench? Like, he stinketh. That's exactly what she said. You cannot roll away that stone. And Jesus turned to her and replied, in verse 40, to that, he said, said I not unto you, Martha, that if you would believe, you would see the glory? Believe only, and see the glory. So what is the glory? The glory, we just explained it, is the manifest or revealed word of God made flesh in your life. Healing, prosperity, whatever it is you're believing for. Believe only and see the glory. There's nothing else to do but believe only. Why do we have such a hard time believing? It's so simple. And we complicate it to suit our own, I don't know, we think we must make it a little more complicated. Can't be that simple. But that's as really as simple as the kingdom is. Believe only and you will see the glory. Doesn't say work hard and pray and fast and cry and whatever. All these things we've put on it. You know, 10 reasons why you don't receive. And then they go through, you know, this and that and that. And by the time you're done listening to all of the steps and the reasons, you've given up. It's like, I can't do that. And I'll be the first to admit it. I can't do that. But if it's believe only, it's like the rug was ripped out from underneath you and you think, this is too easy. I'm going to fall. But it is. And that's what the devil, he knows that it's that simple. And that's why when he came along into the garden, what did he twist into the word of God? Surely God didn't mean that. He made them think that there was more to it than what God said. And that's what he does today in our lives. There's more to it. It can't be that easy. Surely God didn't say that. And he'll say that to you all the time. Surely. That doesn't mean that. Believe only, and the word will become your reality. That leaves the door open for everybody. It's not based on how well you live or how good. Yes, God wants us living well, but if you believe right, you will live right. And that's the truth. So everybody can believe. Everybody has access to their inheritance if you are a child of God by believing only. Have faith in the seed, just like a farmer has faith in his seed. When he puts it in the ground, he knows there's going to be a harvest. Believe God's word in your life. Speak like you already have it. Act like you have it, regardless of what's going on around you. Mark 11:24 says this, very simple. I'm doing a very simple teaching this morning, just the basics of faith. Mark 11:24 says this, therefore I say to you, what things soever you desire, whatever it is in your heart, when you pray, believe. Don't believe, it's not believe when you get it. It's when you pray, believe. When you confess God's word, when you speak forth what God has already said about you, believe it at that moment. No matter what you feel, no matter what's going on, God's word is greater. And God's word can change your life. It's the only thing that can change your life. If that's how you got saved. That's how you got into the kingdom of God in the first place. Remember in John chapter 1 says, whosoever believed, they were given the power to become the sons of God, even to those who believed on his name. It's so simple. Getting saved, coming into this kingdom is the most simple thing you could ever imagine. And yet over the years, the church has complicated it. Made it sound like it's like our, it's something we do. Based on whether we are belong to a denomination or a church or how much we go to church, how much we pray, how much we fast, how much we give. No, believe only. And Jesus said that over and over again in the Gospels. Remember when Jairus' daughter died? And Jesus was on his way to, can you imagine? You finally get to Jesus. Your daughter is sick, very sick, your little girl. And you're begging him to come and lay your hand. You know this man has power to heal people. You've seen it. Come, Jesus, to my house. Jesus gets interrupted by a woman with an issue of blood. And he doesn't shove her away and say, go away, I'm busy. No, 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 no. Jesus is never too busy. He has time for all things. It's never too late for Jesus. And we get weak because we think of him in the natural. We think of him as, oh, well, he can't be possibly here and there and doing this and doing that. But he stopped. And the woman with the issue of blood was healed. And he ministered to her until she was whole and on her way. And then he turned around. And as they turned around to go, people came from Jairus' house, people that had been watching this little girl, and said, sorry, master, she died. She's gone. And Jesus immediately turned to him and said, what did he say? Fear not, believe only. Fear not, it's never too late with God. Fear not, believe only. I love that. Believe only, and you will see the glory of God. And so, I mean, Jairus, okay, this man's not giving up. So they went, and of course, he went into the house. And when he came to the house, they were all wailing and crying. And I mean, you can imagine there was all kinds of people there. And he just pushed them all out. And he went in. And he told the little girl to rise up. And the little girl got up. And he looked over at the parents and said, now give her something to eat. You know, believe only, and you shall see the glory of God. We can all believe. We can all believe. So when you pray, believe you receive, and you shall have. Believe you receive. Luke chapter 12, verses 32, Jesus says unto his disciples, fear not, little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. In other words, God delights to honor his word. That's why the Bible says his eyes are running to and fro over the whole earth, looking for someone to show himself strong on behalf of, someone who's believing his word. He is looking. That's what God's looking for, is the word of God that you are professing. And where he hears his word, he's right on the scene. Do you understand? There's so much power in God's word. I wish I could take the revelation and all that I have learned over the last 40 years and put it into your heart so that you could finally become excited, have that anticipation. God is big enough. God's word, that's all I need. It's all I need. Let's not be like the children of Israel when they were going through the desert, remember? And they were complaining because there was no food to eat, there's no water to drink. And then God rained down manna from heaven. Now, in this manna was everything they needed. It was angel's food, but it was all the nutrients, all the vitamins, everything to make them strong and healthy. And it came down, and it was laying on the ground every morning. But after a while, it says they loathed this light bread. They became to loathe it. They wanted something more. And that's how it is with God's word. Sometimes it's like we loathe it. It's like, really? That's what you're going to give me? The word of God? When I've got these massive problems, have you nothing else that you can give me and comfort me and help me in my situation? Let's not be like that. Let us take the word of God in our own minds and hearts, and let us make it much. You know, you make much. When you make much of God's word, you make much of God. The greatest thing you can ever do is to keep the word of God. Guard your heart. It's in your heart. Keep it there. Keep it there. That must be the greatest treasure of your life, is the word of God. And that sounds silly to the world because they think, this is all weird. But when you are a kingdom child, you need to understand and realize it's all about the seed. It's all about the word. What you do with the word and the seeds that God has given you is the only thing that's going to matter at the end of your life. Did you plant those seeds? Did you live for the glory, his glory in you, on you? I mean, the blessing of the Lord revealed. And I know we see it. I see it on you guys. I see it on many areas in your lives. But let's just go all the way in. Let's go all the way in. Let's pray for our neighbors. Let's pray for our family members who are not saved. And trust God and know they're going to be saved. Especially at this hour. the greatest harvest ever. Yes, people say that's souls. It is souls. Because even if you're believing God for something in your life like healing or prosperity, that is going to translate into souls. Because people see that and they're drawn to it. And it's an open door to lead them to Jesus. When they see the blessing of God in your life, when everybody else is starving and suffering, and you just seemingly are just blessed. But you know, God always says, plant in times of famine. That's when you need to plant your seeds. It's funny. God is always working opposite that the world works. That's why the Bible says his ways are higher than our ways. We need to trust his ways. If you have a need, they always say, plant a seed. So God has made it so simple that we can miss it. Trying to make it complicated. And then we get frustrated because nothing's working for us. Believe only. Hold God accountable to his own word. Just like your kids do to you. Dad, you promised. You promised me ice cream. You promised me a new bike. They're going to hold you accountable to your word. And sometimes you think, oh, I was hoping he'd forget about that. But not God. It is his good pleasure to give you all that his word says is yours. He's waiting for you to hold him accountable. Prove me, he said in the Bible. Prove me that my word will come to pass in your life. How many of us are proving God? How many of us make it our aim, our quest, to hold God accountable to his own word? So no matter what your need is, God has given you the seed for it. If you don't know what it is, look it up. Ask somebody. This is my need. Where is the word of God? What does the word of God say concerning my need? It's all out there. There's no excuse for us not to know what God's word says in different situations in our lives. It's all about the seed and God's word. Mark chapter 4, verses 26 to 29. Let's close in this. Mark 4, 26. This is right after Jesus shares the parable about the seed. The seed being sown. Some of the seed falls by the wayside. Some of the seed, it's talking about the word of God here and what you do with the word of God. And it's the good heart that brings forth a harvest. What is a good heart? What is a good heart? We think of a good heart as someone who is a good person, someone who is, you know, loving and kind. But God looks differently. Okay? A good heart is a heart who takes the word of God in, ponders it, holds on to it, thinks on it, believes it, and will not let it go. It's like a dog with a bone. Until he sees that word come to pass. Sometimes there's time from the time you put the seed in the ground until you get the harvest. Well, it's no different with God's word. But here's the good news. I believe the greatest harvest that we are seeing today, that waiting period is getting shorter and shorter and shorter. Because the Bible says that in the end, the reaper is going to overtake the flower. That means you can't put the seeds in the ground fast enough and the harvest is coming. Isn't that exciting? We don't have to wait 25 years like Abraham did to see God's word come to pass. Things are speeding up. Just like in the world, things are speeding up. We're getting faster and faster and faster. I mean, we can't wait half an hour for dinner. We plug it in the microwave. We need it in 30 seconds and that thing's warm. I mean, years ago, you had to make a fire, stoke the fire. You had to cook your food differently. Nowadays, quick, quick, quick. You can have something halfway around the world through your phones in 30 seconds. Just think about it. Before there was cell phones, before there was even phones, how did news travel? Well, you got a guy on a horse. You sent him out. I mean, it could take months. So do you see how things are quickening up? And I believe in the spirit, it is no different. God is quickening things. You get excited. I'm endeavoring to build anticipation in us, to build excitement. Take the word of God and begin to use it and watch God, watch what God will do in your life. And it won't take 25 years. Let's pray. Let's get together. Let's believe that every word, just like God, every word that comes forth out of my mouth in prayer, in thanksgiving, is done. That's why we say amen at the end of our prayers. Did you know that? Do you know what amen means? So be it. In other words, it's done. And let's remember, like I said, this parable I want to share here is right after Jesus shared the parable about the seed. And he said, and if you do not understand this parable, because his disciples asked him, what does this all mean? He says, how is it if you do not understand the parable of the seed, the sower and the seed and the fruit, how can you understand anything in the kingdom of God? This comes first because the whole kingdom operates on seed time and harvest. And then he goes on to say in verse 26, right after that, and he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed springs up, it grows, he doesn't know how. For the earth brings forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. And when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest is come. In other words, you plant the seeds and you rest. Why? Because it's God's word that's doing the work. You don't know how it works. And the ground is your heart. You get that word in your heart, you begin to confess it. That's watering your seed, just like the farmer waters the seed. I mean, you water your gardens. Not every farmer waters his seed, but you wait for the rains. But what I'm saying is the watering is the word as well. The seed is the word, the watering is the word, the harvest is the word revealed. So it's all about the seed. But you don't worry about it. It's not up to you to make that seed grow. We don't know how it grows. All we know is God's word is a seed and it's powerful. So get it planted in your hearts. Get it. Do not give up. Do not be a person who thinks it's too late. I don't think I can do this. Be filled with the Spirit. That's what it means to be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with excitement and anticipation. Take that word and expect your harvest, and especially in the day in which we live. And I'm excited about getting back into prayer again on whatever we do this week, because I know any request that is brought in and we say, okay, we're going to believe God for this, it will happen. The Lord showed me that. And I am so excited. So bring your needs, bring your requests, whether it's a loved one, whether it's healing for a loved one. I don't care what it is. I know where we are at this hour, and I know that God is going to do something that we have never seen before. And so get excited, but take what I'm telling you today and use it in your own life. Prove God's word. Speak it out. Don't doubt it. Don't be led with emotion. Because so often, it's our emotions that are leading us. I just don't feel. You know, if we don't feel something, we think it didn't happen. It has nothing to do with feelings. Nothing. In fact, those prayers you pray where you felt absolutely nothing, and all of a sudden you see it happen and you think, and yet the one that you were just, so emotional over, those are the ones that are never answered. The thing you worry about the least is the thing God gives you the most. And see, that's so opposite. We think that if we don't have any feelings, we don't care, because we associate the two. We associate the two. God's not moved by your feelings and your emotions. Haven't we learned that? How many people have we seen who are suffering, who are going through horrible things, and they're crying and their emotions are involved, and you think, how, God, can you not be moved by? God is moved by one thing, faith, his word. Your tears don't move God. Your faith moves God. And so let's forget about emotions. Let's not get all emotionally caught up in this. Now, emotions will be experienced once you see the harvest. Yeah, you're going to cry. You're going to laugh. You're going to praise God. Your emotions are going to be touched, which is a good thing too. but don't let it be your guide in receiving the harvest. I mean, the farmer doesn't go out and look at his crop and just, I just don't feel it. I just don't feel the harvest. As you look out at your land when you just put the seed in and you think, no. Like it says here, this is how the kingdom works. The man sleeps, he rises, he sleeps, he's resting. He put the seed in the ground. Now he knows the seed's got to work. He's not getting all emotional about it. He's living his life. He's in the rest. And that's what living in the rest is trust the word. Don't try to make it happen. Just trust the word. Trust the seed. And you will see the glory of God in your life like you have never seen before. Amen. And we're going to stop this morning and we're going to partake of the communion. Thank you for the communion table and our gathering together as a family. Father, as we hold up and bring to our remembrance the precious body of your Son that was given up for us all. In his body, he took all of the pain and the punishment that our sins deserved, even our sicknesses and our diseases, our brokenness. Our grief, our sorrows, our pain. It was all laid upon him. And he absorbed it all. He died our death suffering with our sicknesses and diseases, that he might be risen to a new life and we would be risen in him. So, Father God, your word says, and we hold you to your word this morning, that by the stripe of your own Son, Jesus Christ, we are healed and made whole. And so, Father God, as we partake of this bread, we are partaking of health, of his health, his wholeness, Lord God. And we know your word will never return unto you void. So by your stripe, I and all of the people that are with me are healed because of the stripes of Jesus Christ. And we just give you all the glory and all the praise, Father, belongs unto you. We fully expect health and wholeness to be manifested in our bodies. In Jesus' name, amen. And Lord, we just thank you for this cup, the cup of our salvation, the very blood of God that was poured out, that our sins would be washed away for all eternity. We are now the righteousness of God in Jesus, your Son. And because we are the righteous, we have the right to lay hold of all of our inheritance. We have the right to be free from every evil and every destruction. And I just give thanks and praise that every time we drink of this cup, we are proclaiming loudly the death of Jesus Christ, for that death was our death. He took the place of us, Father, in death, that we might take our place in him, in his new life. And so we thank you, Father God, that as Jesus Christ is, so are we, even in this world. And we're so grateful for your protection in our lives, not only our lives, but our children, our grandchildren. Father God, I thank you that no evil can befall us, nor any plague come nigh our dwelling place, because the blood of Jesus Christ was poured out. And this is the cup of our salvation. We give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just thank you that going forward this week, all of us will take your word seriously. And Father God, we your people will begin to just speak your word out, to lay hold of the things that we still haven't inherited. Lord God, I just thank you and praise you that by the Spirit of God that resides on the inside of each one of us, he will help us. He will take the word and make it real to us. And I just praise you and thank you for your faithfulness and your righteousness in watching over your word to perform it in every one of our lives. Thank you, Father, for the harvest that is about to come in, not only in our church, but in the church worldwide. And I just thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.